In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
You know, in 2 years I've never heard you confess anything remotely interesting.
I live in terror of judgment.
And you think self-hatred will save you?
Have you ever dared to think that God is not just? He has us born, tainted by sin. Then he's angry with us all our lives for our faults. This righteous judge who damns us, threatening us with the fires of hell. I know I'm evil to think it.
You are not evil. You're just not honest. God isn't angry with you. You are angry with God.
I wish there were no God.
Martin, what is it you seek?
A merciful God. A God whom I can love. A God who loves me.
Then look to Christ. Bind yourself to Christ. And you will know God's love.
That's an excerpt from the 2003 Luther movie, a conversation between a young Luther, still in the monastery, struggling against God himself, and his father confessor, his superior there, Johann von Staupitz, who would in time have a major effect on Luther's early academic career, putting him into the classroom and eventually leading him toward those lectures in Scripture where he would find and rediscover the gospel for himself. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Reformation Week, coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Luther's inner circle is the theme this week during Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Kicking it off today, talking about Luther's father confessor, Johann von Staupitz, with Dr. Marcus Riet. Tomorrow will be Dr. Ken Sherb. We'll talk about Luther's fellow reformer, Philip Melanchthon. On Wednesday, Luther's pastor, that's Johannes Bugenhagen. Dr. Kurt Hendel will be our guest. Thursday on Reformation Week, Pastor Paul McCain joins us to tell the stories of Luther's princes, Frederick the Wise, John the Steadfast, and John the Magnanimous. And then we'll wrap up Issues Etc. Reformation Week discussing Luther's wife, Katrina von Bora, with Dr. Martin Troy. We kick off Issues Etc. Reformation Week on this Monday afternoon talking about Luther's father confessor, Johann von Staupitz. Joining us to do so, Dr. Marcus Riet, Professor of Church History at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany. Dr. Riet, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah, welcome. Hello.
How would you describe the importance of Staupitz to the Reformation?
Well, this is a quite important question, for the research has looked for a long time whether there's any theological impact on Martin Luther. In fact, from my point of view, it's less important what kind of theology, like scholastic theology, mystical theology, pre-Reformation theology or so he articulated. It was his pastoral care. He comforted Luther in his afflictions and temptations. And I think his main impact was that he was an authentic and trustworthy representative of biblical interpretation of how to live as a Christian. I would see there the most important impact on Luther. He was, if you allow this kind of metaphor, he was more of catalytic importance, like in chemistry, than in a clear advice, do this, do that, and then Luther would continue with this.
So the word you used there was catalyst, is that correct?
Yeah, right.
Let's talk a little bit about just his biography. How would you introduce Johann von Staupitz to us?
Well, you spoke in intro to this broadcast, you spoke of Father Confessor. I think this is not the correct title. Jenna Staupitz was, first of all, very high representative of the imperial Saxon nobility. He was some kind of sandbox comrade of Frederick the Wise. And so he was involved in the foundation of the university, and he saw an opportunity to put the Hermits of St. Augustine in a pivotal point of impact on the further development of this university. So he was actually a diplomat, he was a theologian, and he was a preacher. Luther met him probably the first time around 1506 in the monastery in Erfurt. I don't know what happened, actually, but it might be that Luther was introduced to the high-rank official of the Augustinian Hermits. In fact, he was general vicar of the observant branch of the Augustinian Hermits, which means that he continued reform movement within the Augustinians, which goes back into the mid of the 15th century under Andreas Prolis and other people. So we call this the observant branch, and he was the representative of this branch, also with direct report to the Pope. That makes him a very high and distant person. Nevertheless, they had close contact, and it was Staupitz who said that Luther should study theology. Probably around 1506, 1507, he started with the idea to make Luther his successor in Wittenberg. Nevertheless, it lasted another 6 years. Luther became his successor in 1512 in Wittenberg, and to become a professor of biblical studies or interpretation of the Bible. In Latin, it's as lectura in Biblia. And Staupitz continued his administration and ideas for the Augustinian Hermits, especially the reunion of the observant branches. We don't know when he really had close contact. I would say during the time between 1511, 1512, and 1517, the closest contact was possible, since Staupitz spent several months in Wittenberg. From this time, we don't have any letters, so we have no witness what they really talked about, but I guess that this was the most important time where they exchanged their ideas. And I would also say that somewhere in this region, or a little bit earlier, 1511, 1510, Staupitz comforted Luther with his major information on the mercy of God to be seen in the crucified. And this change to understand that Christ did something for Luther, but Luther did not want to accept this gift, that made a part of the Reformation breakthrough, of which we don't know when it really happened.
Would you say that, were they colleagues, or were they what we would call today friends?
Oh, this is a very difficult question, because I'm not sure whether this, what we understand as friend, is eligible to the relationships they had in the 16th century. They were brothers in the spirit of the Augustinian Hermits, and they accepted each other as very close partners in the community of religious people living in the monastery. Neither colleague nor friend would be the right description. And as I said, even Father Confessor is not the right description, since Staupitz, well, talked a lot with Luther, but his Father Confessor was somebody else. So they have strict separation of all these functions within the order. And it was a close relationship, nevertheless not as personal or individual as we would understand it from the 19th or 20th century point of view.
Why did Staupitz urge Luther to study for his doctorate?
Yeah, this is, as I said, he probably had realized what a brilliant young man Luther was. He was extremely gifted in learning the languages, interpreting the scripture, and he was a very thorough student. So I guess he had very early the idea to make him his successor for Wittenberg. And yeah, that's why he demanded him to continue his studies and become a doctor. By the way, there's a nice little story about it. When Staupitz suggested Luther to continue his studies, Luther said, "I can't do it. I'm of weak health, and I might even die over this." Staupitz responded and said, "Well, if this happens, don't matters, because God needs erudite angels in heaven too, so just carry on."
So he saw something in Luther of his potential to be a doctor of the church. Also, talk about the University of Wittenberg. What was its place in really kind of the burgeoning system there in northern Germany of education?
Well, to make a long story pretty short, it was the first university for Imperial Saxony, and it was a very ambitious project of the electoral prince, Frederick III, of the house of the Ernestine branch of the Wettin family. He wanted to have a school to educate modern-educated, modern-trained administrators of his realm. It was founded in 1502, and it was founded actually with a strong humanist impact. The first dean of university was Martin Pollich of Mellerstadt. He was a medical doctor, but also a very famous mediator of humanist ideas from Italy to Germany. He took contact to other intellectuals of his time, and the second person right next to Martin Pollich of Mellerstadt was John of Staupitz. As I said, Frederick knew him from his early youth on, and he asked him whether he could work on a divinity school, a faculty of theology. And when Wittenberg was founded in the statutes, we have the agreement of the Order of the Augustinian Hermits. They would send at least 2 up to 4 professors to the theology faculty and help out also in the philosophy department. We don't have too much sources on the early years, but we have the approbation by the Pope in 1506 in Bologna. Staupitz actually traveled to Bologna, met Julius II and his very impressive entrance. He's actually the guy with the golden arms in the Luther movie. And Julius approbated the university, gave his papal acceptance, and the emperor never was asked. So this is also a university in which the electoral prince shows his authority and his pride and autonomy. However, in Bologna, Staupitz met with Christopher Scheuerl. He was a Nuremberg lawyer, humanist, and he received a doctorate in ecclesiastical and civil law in Bologna. And he asked him whether he could come and help to establish a modern university. So Staupitz had studied in Tübingen. Scheuerl had studied all over the place, and especially in the humanist universities of Italy. So they both created the framework of modern education in Wittenberg, and this is all put into the statutes of the 4 faculties, which were published in 1507. So now we have a humanist modern state university, and Wittenberg was, if not at the end of the world, one could see the end of the world very clear from there. So they started to attract students, and it is very astonishing that right after Luther gave a guest lecture in Wittenberg, we have an increasing number of inscriptions to the university. And when Luther became professor from 1512 on, up to the end of the 30 Years' War, probably even a little longer. So in the 17th century, Wittenberg was the university, the most attractive university in Germany, and had the highest numbers of inscription per semester or per academic year. We talk about 500 to 600 students a year. One should know, Wittenberg was a very small, foggy, muddy town at the banks of River Elbe, probably about 2,000 inhabitants. In 1513-14, the university hosted 2,000 students. So you have a university as big as the city that creates potential, but it creates also a lot of conflict. Well, in this merger of modern ideas and traditional teaching, Staupitz was the dean of the theology faculty until 1511 or 12.
Dr. Marcus Riet is our guest. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week, Luther's Inner Circle. Today we're talking about Luther's father confessor, Johann von Staupitz. What would students have been taught under his guidance at the University of Wittenberg? We'll answer that after this.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Service Book has been in use now for an entire decade, and we at Concordia Theological Seminary felt it was a good time to give some consideration of what we've learned in the process of using that hymnal for 10 years.
Dr. Paul Grimm talking about the Good Shepherd Institute Conference, November 6th through the 8th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're bringing together a number of people who were involved in the project, as well as other pastors and musicians who have used the hymnal for 10 years, with the goal that together we can consider even more deeply how this hymnal has affected our church body and its gathering together Sunday after Sunday as we receive the gifts of God in the divine service and return our thanks and praise for his wondrous deeds.
Lutheran Service Book at 10 Years is the theme for the 17th Annual Good Shepherd Institute Conference, November 6th through the 8th, at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ctsfw.edu or call 262-452-2224. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We're talking about Luther's Inner Circle, beginning today with Luther's father confessor, Johann von Staupitz. Dr. Marcus Riet is our guest professor of church history at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany. Now, throughout Issues Etc. Reformation Week, we ask you to consider supporting this worldwide outreach by joining a monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You can find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. And if you join by Reformation Day, that's October 31st, 1 week from today, you'll also get a limited edition Here I Stand long sleeve t-shirt. This is a long sleeve t-shirt with black sleeves, a white front. It has our familiar logo, Real Reformation Radio, on the back. And on the front, instead of the familiar I Have Issues, it has Here I Stand. And remembrance of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, Luther's seal, and the dates on the shoulder. You can join the Reformation Club by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Write Here I Stand Shirt and your shirt size in the memo line of your check, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Dr. Reed, you were talking before the break about the curriculum that Johann von Staupitz had designed at this, well, in essence, a theology school, divinity school at the University of Wittenberg. What would the students have been taught under Staupitz's guidance?
Yeah, well, actually, he had what we call the Bible studies, and we don't have a curriculum, though we have some information that he created the semester plans for the students mostly after the model of Tübingen. So after studying the Artes Liberales, the fine arts, the students were eligible for a higher faculty, and in theology they started out, first of all, with a lecture on the doctrine of the church following Peter Lombard, the so-called sentences. And these lectures are given by people who were further on in the study, so say four semester above. The title of the docent was Sententiarius, and he interpreted Peter Lombard to the students. In fact, that was a collection of quotations from mainly Augustine, and it was more or less collected after the main keywords of doctrine like grace or faith or justification and so on. After this, the students had to learn Holy Scripture, and they studied either the Bible itself or commentaries on the Bible. And here is where Staupitz obviously gave lectures which were very close to the Bible text, and he did not add too many authorities to that. But we don't know what he actually taught in class, because we have no lecture of him kept for today. We have some sermons from the year 1500. They are very conservative explanations of the Book of Job. Actually, a lot of quotations, Thomas, Scotus, Bonaventure, and others, very, very boring. And it seems that he did not continue this scholastic style, but we don't have any information about this. We know how Luther continued. In 1512, he started to interpret the Psalms, and he did this in the traditional way of the fourfold sense of Scripture. But in 1515, he changed the model. He starts to connect the sentences to a meaningful paragraph and interprets not word by word, but the meaning of the full paragraph. And this new kind of interpretation allows students to dig much deeper into the text as it was during the time of the older professors. They interpreted just one word after the other, and did the classical allegorical interpretation, and in fact, it didn't give too much sense. That Luther was able to change this kind of interpretation found certainly the acceptance or approbation by Staupitz. However, we don't have any witness for this guess.
So we're assuming there that Luther's change of his method of teaching was tacitly approved of by Staupitz.
I would say so, yeah. It was approved, though I would not sign the sentence that Staupitz impacted Luther to do so. This is obviously a longer development of Luther, in which he contacted different friends and colleagues. I mean, in this time also, Karlstadt was a member of the faculty. He was at that time very conservative, representative of the Thomistic way of theology. And people like Nicholas Amstorff, who later became a close friend of Luther, or a co-worker, he was there, and he also was of more or less conservative style in learning. Nevertheless, it was a group of theologians, young theologians, who as a group, developed a new climate of how to deal with scripture. And this climate was very much impacted by humanist ideas. Erasmus, Christoph Scheuerl, Pierre Kammer, and other colleagues. Staupitz had very close contacts to Nuremberg, where a larger group of humanists invited him for preaching. And obviously, he brought some of these ideas from the humanist tradition from Nuremberg into Wittenberg. As long as Christoph Scheuerl was part of the university, he also impacted his colleagues. And in total, Luther and his colleagues reached out for the newest methods of Bible interpretation and other stuff. Yeah, I might say it was a learning and teaching community in which they exchanged ideas.
You mentioned briefly, Staupitz, as preacher, that it was probably pretty tedious to listen to him preach. Talk a little bit more about that role of his.
For modern readers, it is, it's in some kind very, very hard to get into his style of interpreting special parts of the scripture. But he was known, in fact, as a preacher, not so much as a teacher, professor, or a diplomat. He was invited for preaching in Nuremberg. I mentioned that later on in Salzburg. And he preached, obviously, a lot in other cities. And he was known for his very empathic way of bringing the Word of God to the people. His sermons are completely free of any intellectual or academic pride. No quotations, no mentioning of Augustine, Thomas, Scotus, or whatsoever. He just interprets Bible, and now comes a very important point, he interprets Bible with Bible. And this was obviously something which Luther learned or took over from him. And Staupitz attracted the citizens of Nuremberg and other cities, and later on he preached also in convents of the Benedictines, especially to the women, and they started to rewrite his sermons, and that's why we have at least a couple of texts which were generated by him, though it's not the original author, it is a editing process through these texts which we have from Nuremberg and Salzburg.
Just as a matter of curiosity, what kind of texts was he preaching?
Actually, we have in the regular modern Protestant service, they had a lecture series, and they followed a scripture through each Sunday with a given text, a gospel, something from the epistles, and an Old Testament part. And Staupitz did both. On the one hand, he said, he follows just continuously a text like Job or something else, or he taught to specific keywords like grace, predestination, justification, sanctification, and so on. And then he chooses a word from Scripture to undermine his systematic thought.
Dr. Marcus Riet is our guest. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week on this Monday, October the 24th, talking about Luther's inner circle, Luther's father confessor, Johann von Staupitz. Stay tuned. Are you looking for Christmas cards that combine beautiful art with a clear Christian confession? Emmanuel Press offers Christ-centered, affordable cards in a variety of designs. You'll find cards with stained glass, illumination, German frescoes, and other unique artwork found only at Emmanuel Press. Visit their website, emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
You can teach laypeople theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
The church knows best. You see, God in his infinite wisdom never allows us to stray too far.
I still have a long way to go, Father.
So do we all. And you leave tomorrow.
Leave? Where am I going to?
Forgive my little joke, brother. I've decided to send you on a mission in my behalf. You're going to Rome, little brother. Rome.
Rome?
It's a petition I'm sending to the Holy See. You'll go with a brother monk.
But what about my studies, Father?
This will do more for you than all the studies in the world. There is so much to see, so much to do in Rome. But the journey itself is an act of faith.
That's a scene from the 1953 film Martin Luther. Johann von Staupitz, Luther's father, confessor, and superior, sends him to Rome. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week on this Monday, October the 24th. We're talking about Luther's inner circle, beginning with Johann von Staupitz. Dr. Marcus Riet is our guest. He's professor of church history at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany. Before the break, Dr. Riet, you were talking about Staupitz's teaching, his preaching, the little that we know of those things, and his writing. Some would say you might expect to find a nascent Reformation theology there in those things. How would you respond to this?
Actually, I argue a little bit with these people and say it's really hard to put a label on Staupitz's theology. It's very eclectic. He takes what he likes, and the longer he preaches, he gives no hint on what authority he's leaning on. So most of the theologians who later researched on Staupitz gave him a label which was more or less a construction of ideas. So Staupitz was everything. He was scholastic, he was mystic, he was Thomist, he was Augustinian, and for each, you can find some related sentences in the text of his sermons, though I don't know whether he really thought, now I'm Thomistic, now I'm Augustinian, now I'm mystic. He uses what he knows just as material to interpret and explain what's written in Scripture. And for that, the traditional question, what kind of theology did Luther learn from Staupitz, cannot be answered. It is more, a mélange, a merger of a certain kind of intellectual late medieval understanding and a very authentic personal piety, which Staupitz just lived in the communication with Luther. And I would say it was more his human model, his way of spiritual leadership that impacted Luther than a clear advice, read Augustine, read Thomas, or whatsoever. We know that Staupitz brought one text of Augustine from the anti-Pelagian time, De Spiritu et Litera, on the character and the spirit. He brought this into Wittenberg and, urged Luther and his colleague Karlstadt to read this text. Nevertheless, I cannot say that this was initiating a reformation. It was more a way of, look, this is the way Augustine did it. Why don't you follow his advice or something like that? But Luther went into a very creative interpretation of Augustine, while Karlstadt, as we know, sticked very close to Augustine, later became what we know as a Reformation radical. So Staupitz chose neither the way of Karlstadt nor of Luther. He stick to his old belief and, later on went to Salzburg and immigrated in a way out of the conflict Luther has caused in Germany.
Do we know, or can we surmise, what his reaction to that conflict was? I mean, if he did not choose either the Radical Reformation or Luther's Reformation, but stayed where he was, what was his personal reaction to the beginnings of the Reformation and the conflict surrounding his student Luther?
This is a very, very difficult question. Actually, it's debated in research. When Luther was called to the Heidelberg disputation, Staupitz was the one who said, why don't you explain your findings to the congregation of brethren? And Luther gave a very short, nevertheless very clear interpretation of what he understands as right biblical theology. And we know that people like Ambrosius Blara or other reformers, Martin Bucer and so on, they joined this public dispute and were so deeply impacted that they became reformers. So Staupitz, in a way, gave institutional help that Luther could explain what he's doing. When Luther was called to Thomas Cajetan to revoke his findings, Staupitz relieved Luther from the laws of a member of the Augustinian congregation. He said, you don't have to be obedient to me. You are just responsible for yourself. So one could say this is a kind of liberation, that Luther could articulate his ideas and findings free and without respect to the order. Or one could say Staupitz wanted to get away from Luther and wanted not to be, contaminated by his thought. We have a number of letters over the time between 18 and the death of Staupitz in 1524, in which both exchange very friendly, very consoling words. And Luther articulates in these letters that Staupitz brought him into the way, but he never asked him to join him. And likewise, Staupitz never, ever articulated any idea like, stop your way, you are going to be burned, or this is heretic. We don't have a clear idea what Staupitz really thought about Luther. We have posthumous printed book of Staupitz in which a paragraph is added which criticized the penance as Luther criticized it. Now we don't know whether it was really from Staupitz or was added by another author. This is still up to the historians to find out about. So I would say, as I did in my book on Staupitz, he opened a pathway for Luther, but he didn't follow him. So he stayed where he was. He was quite sympathetic to Luther, though he never ever had the depth of consequence as Luther articulated them, and in his critique against papacy and church and so on, he wouldn't have followed.
If you had to decide, just for the sake of argument, whether Staupitz was attempting to release Luther's conscience there when he's called before Chaeton, or whether he's gently distancing himself from Luther, which would you say is more likely?
This is really, really a difficult question. I don't know too much about the character of Staupitz. And it's just a guess. From my point of view and the reading of the later letters, I would say he wanted really to let Luther go and was very uncertain where this way ends up. He might have thought, but this is really speculative, he might have thought that Luther would get ideas into Rome and could exchange these with the curial administrators and might initiate some ideas of reform to the Roman Church. Staupitz himself never ever would have suggested to leave the church. I might also say that Staupitz probably never thought that Luther was a heretic, but we don't have any really witness for this.
Dr. Marcus Reed is our guest. It's Reformation Week, Luther's Inner Circle. Talk about Luther's father confessor, Johann von Staupitz. Next, Staupitz is an example of personal piety and pastoral care.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Do you have skills as a coder, designer, writer, marketer, project manager, or are interested in building websites? Do you want to help the church proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in? If yes, you should join our WordSites team. WordSites is a group of tech-savvy volunteers who help fellow Lutheran organizations build effective websites. Plus, we have fun while we're doing it. To submit your name or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website. Reformed.
This Reformation Week, we're talking about Luther's Inner Circle, beginning on this Monday with Johann von Staupitz, Luther's father confessor. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Marcus Reed is our guest professor of church history at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany. Folks, Concordia Publishing House has all kinds of Reformation resources for you. You can find out more at cph.org or call 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Reed, before the break, you talked about Staupitz as an example of both personal piety and, intriguingly, pastoral care. Describe that, if you would.
Yeah, but we have a... Unfortunately, I have to say something in German. Bernd Hamm invented that idea of Frömmigkeitstheologie. This is theology of piety. And we have a number of theologians in the beginning of the 16th century who argue much more intensive on the personal piety than on the institutional supervision of this piety. Nevertheless, Staupitz is probably the only one who goes very far in the aspects of individual faith and a certain reluctance to address the absolute power of churchly mediation of salvation. He does not talk too much on sacraments, on the multitude of powers the priest has from the bishop and from the papacy. So he confronts the faithful with his God in a very direct and unmediated way. But this is all very, very theological and very, very systematic. Staupitz never, ever would formulate a sentence like this. He would just say, look at Christ as he is tortured to death on the cross and think about what this means for you. And that's more important than that he would say, go to the penitentiary or join the ecclesiastical community for sacraments or something. He does not give any recipe what to do. He just say, look, God is talking to you. And then everything is up to God. At this point, he was very, very authentic to Luther, and Luther later argues that Staupitz learned him the merciful God and the center of the mercy in Christ.
Do we know anything of their relationship after Luther is excommunicated? There's only a few years left in Staupitz's life, but do we know of anything of the relationship after that?
Luther writes in one letter that he's very, very unhappy that Staupitz does not answer on his letters and that he doesn't hear too much of him. He moves to Salzburg and becomes member of the Benedictine order at St. Peter. He becomes later on prior of this, or abbot of this monastery. Probably he has just, in a way of disappointed hesitation. He sees that theology is not what rules the world, and he has the feeling that his power is too weak to help Luther or his branch out. Staupitz, as you probably know, was later on accused by the Holy Inquisition. Fortunately, he was already dead, but his books were burned, and he was accused to be predecessor or pathfinder for the Reformation and the Lutheran heresy. So in 1555, the abbot of St. Peter, Martin V, burned all the leftovers of Staupitz, and so we have no authentic source material.
That, I take it, in your estimation, was an entirely unjust accusation posthumously against Staupitz.
Oh, for sure, yes. Staupitz was in a good way, very Catholic, and in his acceptance of Luther, as much as Thomas or others, he was just one of these theologians who took theology as the fundament of his pastoral care, and to comfort the afflicted. That was his idea. He didn't want to create a new system or to be innovative in bringing up new ideas in philosophy or so. He was just interested in the pastoral work, and he impacted Luther and others, we have to say, by the way of his thorough search of the Bible as guidance for daily life activities.
Is there a little-known story about Johann von Staupitz that you'd like to tell us?
Well, there are two things I should mention. A lot of speculation was made on Staupitz, and in the last century we had even an idea that Staupitz was held as a hostage by the abbot of St. Peter in Salzburg. This is probably nonsense, but nevertheless, there are many speculations. The other thing which I find extremely interesting, that his heritage was kept by radical Reformation groups. The first edition of his works was done by, we would say, Anabaptists. And later on, other theologians from the radical Reformation branches took Staupitz and found about his relation to Luther. Seriously, Staupitz was researched after 1930 by Ernst Wolff and other folks, and the modern research started with Heiko Obermann in the mid of the 60s and 70s of the last century. Well, a story I like very much is that Staupitz once was asked by Luther whether he could forgive him his sins. That's why many people think he was Father Confessor. But Staupitz was very irascible and said, "Go away with your puppy sins, bring me a real sin, like raping a virgin, like killing the parents, like stealing a lot of money. As long as you don't have a sin like this, stay away from me." And this harsh critique brought Luther into a new kind of affliction, and he learned what sin means. And now we come to the theological part. Staupitz taught him that the grace of God makes not the sinner acceptable to God, but God acceptable to the sinner. So Luther learned that God comes to him to make Luther loving him or accepting him as the merciful God. And this was a completely new way of interpreting the relation between the sinner and God. And this is probably one of the most influential relations. And we know that Staupitz, in a mixture of humorous talk and very deep spiritual advice, led Luther into that what we later call his biblical theology, which became the breeding ground of Reformation theology.
Dr. Marcus Riet is professor of church history at Goethe University in Frankfurt, Germany. He joined us from Germany. Dr. Riet, thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, thank you for interviewing me.
Issues Etc. Reformation Week continues tomorrow. We're going to talk with Dr. Ken Sherb about Luther's fellow reformer, Philip Melanchthon, a humanist, a educational reformer, and an excellent example of a lay theologian. We'll talk about his academic and Reformation career with Dr. Ken Sherb tomorrow on Issues Etc. Then on Wednesday, it's Luther's Pastor with Dr. Kurt Hendel. Thursday, Pastor Paul McCain will tell us the stories of Luther's princes, Frederick the Wise, John the Steadfast, and John Frederick the Magnanimous. Then we'll wrap up Issues Etc. Reformation Week discussing Luther's wife, Katrina von Bora, with Dr. Martin Troy. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Real Reformation Radio, Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming; Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; Redeemer Lutheran, Caquabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada; St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
When you say, "I am baptized," you are in fact saying, "Jesus died for me."
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Now that work of Christ for you is given to you in baptism.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and Confession and Absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.